Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Joe Biden. I thought they took away his car keys. What is he doing back out on the roads? My goodness. That guy. That was just pathetic yesterday, some of his comments. I mean, look at the destruction that guy left in his wake. And now he wants to come out and take shots at the current president of the United States, who's trying to clean up all of his messes. That's got to be today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment. All right, couple of messages that came in on the Montana Talks app. Why aren't they bringing Joe Biden to Missoula today? They're not bringing Joe Biden, but Bernie Sanders and AOC are going to be in Missoula today. I told you, you know, some of the weather, you've got the snow that's coming back. Winter always loves to come back in April, May, and June. That's Montana for you. But, yeah, parts of the state are going to get some snow, got some cooler temperatures in the forecast over the next 24 to 48 hours as well. But apparently high winds, they're expecting high winds in Missoula. Let me see here. I don't think I saw anything from National Weather Service Missoula earlier this morning, but National Weather Service Office, Glasgow, Great Falls, and Billings all, yeah, talking about some, you know, winds in the forecast here later today. Southwestern Montana also going to see some thunderstorms. Let's see. The National Weather Service Office in Great Falls says this afternoon and evening there will be isolated thunderstorms primarily in southwestern Montana. Any thunderstorm will produce gusty winds and a brief heavy downpour. So that's basically looking at that. That looks like all of western Montana down into southwest Montana, down into south central, southeastern Montana in the forecast. National Weather Service Office out of Glasgow, northerly winds will increase across the area today with wind gusts nearing 35 miles per hour. These winds will generate a period of choppy conditions on unsheltered portions of the lake, talking about Fort Peck Lake. And then the National Weather Service Office in Billings says this, a spring storm system will bring widespread precipitation, including heavy snow for the mountains and the foothills late today to early Friday. At lower elevations, rain is expected to change to wet snow tonight, with snow continuing through Thursday. But, yeah, they're expecting some, you know, some moderately high winds in Missoula as well. So that some of the folks were going to get out and show support for President Trump, kind of do a little rally of their own, while Bernie Sanders and AOC have their big rich socialist gathering at the Adams Center in Missoula. But I got a note from Mike in Missoula. He said they're going to hold off on that for today because of the high winds, things like that. But anyway, Tim and Savage says this, high wind threatening Missoula. Climate change. Yeah. But you got to blame climate change for everything, right? Speaking of the climate alarmists, Tim, did you see this one? I had to send this to our friend David Noble. Guess what the climate alarmists are now targeting? You know, first they tried to target your beef and your cows. Cows are causing climate change. Now, they're going after your dog. They're going after the family dog. Mother Jones had this headline, bad news for man's best friend. Dogs are environmental villains. First, they back the illegal aliens. Now they want to take away your family dog. Oh, buddy.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman. Inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Mark Zuckerberg took the witness stand on the first day of the FTC's lawsuit against Meta, which turns on Zuck's decision to acquire WhatsApp and Instagram when they were small companies. FTC's lead lawyer, they decided competition was too hard and it would be easier to buy out their rivals rather than to compete with them. This case began in the first Trump term and was aggressively pursued by Joe Biden. And Zuckerberg spent a lot of time saying, oh, we have plenty of competition because we're also in the entertainment world and a minority of our content is shared among friends on Facebook and Instagram. And so we're competing with Snap and TikTok and all these other places. That's his strategy. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Are there too many out-of-state hunters here in Montana? You got to check out some very interesting numbers. Somebody has actually pulled up the numbers from how it used to be and how it is now. Plus, the Montana legislature advancing a bill called the Montana Hunters First Act that would look at this very issue of out-of-state hunters in Montana. We've got that full story. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com. The bill already passed the Senate, already passed the House. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, there we go. That's the line of the day right here. High winds in Missoula. Is that because there's a couple blowhards that will be in town later today? Of course, for the Bernie Sanders AOC rally in Missoula. High winds with the blowhards in town. That was great. Thanks to Jake and Billings for sending that message. Hey, switching tracks here for a second. You know, let's talk about some other interesting things in the news. I thought, what the heck? Let's do something different than just, hey, Maryland, man, the New York Auto Show. What's the story there? What's the auto industry featuring there? The great Jeff Manasso now with us. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, my friend. So, yeah, we'll see at least 28 manufacturers at the New York International Auto Show that that kicks off this week at the Javits Center in Manhattan. And what's special about this show in terms of the significance for consumers is that industry awards a special vehicle with World Car of the Year title. And several other World Car winners will be announced in different categories. It's going to be a bunch of reveals this week. Subaru's got a couple of them. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback. It's a redesigned version of its lifted wagon that competes with mid-sized SUVs. The second is a new electric SUV called the 2026 Subaru Trail Seeker. Kia is expected to show off three new affordable EVs, according to the company, and Hyundai is rumored to have a World Car winner with its brand new Inster, I-N-S-T-E-R, a.k.a. a Casper Electric. It's based on the Korean gas-powered Casper subcompact SUV. It's a really tiny SUV. It's about, if you're familiar with the Chevy Trax, kind of similar in size, but it starts at $21,000. And so we'll see that. Hyundai's going to live stream its all-new 2026 Palisade SUV. It's become really popular. It enjoyed its best ever sales year last year, up 23% year over year. And so this the new Palisade SUV expected to be bigger. It's a three-row SUV, bigger, better, goes further than its critically acclaimed predecessor in its SUV competition, according to Hyundai. So we'll see that. I think one of the cooler exhibits, events that may draw people is the New York International Auto Show's look back at the golden era. which essentially is a tribute to automotive glory from the 1950s. So a huge display. You probably see a bunch of tail fins and cars that were made of real metal. So that may draw some people. But if the Ford Bronco or the Jeep are your thing, those companies are going to have a couple of test tracks where you can hop in and take them over many mountains for a quick test drive.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, you hear the Detroit Auto Show, I'm assuming, always get promoted, but I've never heard too much about the New York Auto Show, so it's interesting. I wonder what distinguishes the two. What do they try to focus on in New York versus Detroit? But one of the coolest new vehicle lines I saw come out here lately, I've only seen pictures of it, you know, like the old very boxy GMCs? I don't know if they're from the 70s or the 80s, but they're very square-shaped, very boxy front. Those are like GMCs. He's rolling out a brand new product line that throws back to that old boxy look, and they're kind of cool because they're futuristic looking and have almost like this Transformers look to them, like the Transformers cartoon and movies, but yet they have that old school kind of boxy shape to them. I don't know, those are pretty cool.
Throwback type of vehicles are pretty popular because people like that. They kind of like going back, and I know what you're talking about. I think it's the 70s and 80s encompass that boxy look for GM, GMC, and I'd love to see it.
What's different with the New York Auto Show compared to, say, Detroit?
Well, this is the oldest. It's 125 years old, and so there's a lot of celebrating happening this week. The Detroit Auto Show is essentially the first international auto show, kind of kicks things off with within the auto industry. But again, this is where they reveal a world car of the year. And so then all eyes are on these specific models that have been, gifted with that distinction. And so, that's in that way, it makes news.
Yeah, very interesting. All right. Well, and then, of course, all this with the backdrop of auto tariffs in the background as well. Well, President Trump's working to bring a lot of that manufacturing back to America right now. So I'm sure there'll be some interesting chatter behind the scenes at the auto show as well.
Well, it's just in. Honda is announcing that it's going to be bringing the manufacturing of its Civic, its popular Honda Civic, from Japan to the U.S. now. Because of these negotiations with the Trump administration, tariffs, so expect the Honda Civic to be made here.
Yeah, all right. Well, great news. Jeff Manasso, appreciate your time as always. Thanks for being with us.
You bet.
All right. Yeah, Jeff Manasso giving us a window into the auto world here this week. Speaking of windows, YHIC, your home improvement company, they're in the middle of their biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event, and they've got an unbeatable deal. 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor with a minimum of 4 windows. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Plus, check out the financing. 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is their biggest sale of the year. Let me repeat, 50% off your window purchase, plus free labor, minimum of 4 windows. Call 406-948-2836, or if you like me and you want to go to their website, check out YHIC.com. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company, YHIC.com. Phone lines are open after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Take 2 pills and call me in the morning. If I'm in the solution to housing affordability, we're as easy as doctor's advice to fighting off an ailment. At least the doctor can usually count on the human body's natural immune system to do the heavy lifting to get you back to health. In the case of housing markets in the most stressed areas of the state, market forces don't work in the same way. And in terms of affordability, the patient remains sick. Housing markets in places like Bozeman and Kalispell have changed since the COVID-induced changes in demand pushed prices and rents up dramatically. Demand is cooled, population growth has throttled back, and the super high prices have done their bit as well. The supply response, particularly in new multifamily housing coming online in the rental markets, was strong, especially in the year or so before interest rates rose. But none of these things have moved the needle in getting prices and rents back down. Far from it. Better local policies would help. It's also inflation in building materials, which, it must be said, tariffs will make much worse. I'm Patrick Box.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research. This is House Call for Health. Research suggests seniors can cut their risk of dementia by doing some weight training. Resistance training twice a week helps protect certain areas of the brain, according to new data. For the study, researchers recruited 44 adults ages 55 or older with a diagnosis of mild cognitive impairment. One group participated in moderate to high-intensity weight sessions twice a week, while the control group refrained from any exercise. The study found after 6 months, participants who used resistance training showed improvement in verbal episodic memory, which is the ability to recall specific verbal events, experiences, or information in a sequential and chronological order, and also improved the strength of neurons and areas of the brain associated with Alzheimer's disease. Meanwhile, the control group showed signs of worsening brain parameters. Findings appear in the journal Geroscience. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. Another western state makes it a little bit tougher to get the firearm of your choice. Colorado's governor puts another purchase obstacle for those wanting to buy semi-automatic rifles. Such rifles remain the most popular rifle in the U.S. The new law signed by Governor Jared Polis would require anyone wanting to buy a semi-automatic rifle in Colorado to pass a firearm safety course once every 5 years. A certificate of some sort would be needed to be presented when purchasing the firearm, and anything dated more than 5 years ago won't be considered valid. Yes, it can be renewed, but renewals need to involve the local sheriff's office. The permit could cost someone at least $300. Opponents of the law argue that keeping track of who passes a safety course for the sole purpose of purchasing a specific type of firearm amounts to a registry. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
A new report from CoBank says rapidly worsening expectations about everything from inflation to personal income to business conditions and labor supplies are elevating farmers' economic concerns. The question of whether the declining expectations will translate into slower spending and tightening profit margins will likely come into view by late June, the study says. Uncertainty over trade and biofuel policy pulled corn, soybean, and wheat prices down last quarter despite the weaker U.S. dollar. Trade concerns weighed heaviest on wheat, as world buyers have multiple suppliers available. Crop production expenses are expected to continue trending lower, but they remain elevated in relation to lower commodity prices. Also, renewable diesel and biodiesel production has scaled back to find stability in the absence of the blender's tax credit, pushing prices above petroleum. Record high prices for beef cattle remain across the sector despite continuing herd liquidation. The U.S. pork sector is positioned for moderate growth this year as well. Now looking to production bull sale results. Yesterday, the Treasure Bull Test took place at Western Livestock Auction in Great Falls, Montana. Producers from across the region offered over 105 Angus bulls that averaged $7,500 and $17 a head. I'm Lane Northmond.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so the climate alarmists, you know, they wanted to blame cows for so-called climate change, right? But now they're going after man's best friend and probably women's best friend as well, the dogs. Mother Jones had an article. I heard them talking about this on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. Maybe it was on Fox and Friends first, which is on even earlier than Fox and Friends starts. But Mother Jones, which is a far-left rag, bad news for man's best friend. Dogs are environmental villains. But the story that was referenced by Fox and Friends earlier this morning was this from the UK Guardian, which is another far-left rag publication here. Dogs have extensive and multifarious environmental impacts, disturbing wildlife, polluting waterways, and contributing to carbon emissions, new research has found. Now, you got to say, in fairness to our farmers and ranchers, if they're going to blame cows for climate change, I guess they have to continue down the same absurd little dog trail here, right? Or rabbit trail, whatever you want to call it. An Australian review of existing studies has argued that the environmental impact of owned dogs is far greater, more insidious, and more concerning than is generally recognized. While the environmental impact of cats is well known, really, I don't remember hearing about the environmental impact of cats before. But the researchers say that the comparative effect of pet dogs has been poorly acknowledged. The review, published in the journal Pacific Conservation Biology, highlighted the impacts of the world's commonest large carnivore in killing and disturbing native wildlife, particularly shore birds. Can't you just see a happy dog chasing the birds on the shore of the lake or the pond or the river? Oh, no. My goodness. Now they're blaming the family dog for climate change. You know, it's never them and their private jets that they fly to their climate conferences. It's always you and your family dog or something absurd like that. Okay, speaking of radical environmentalists, so in Missoula, apparently Missoula is finally picking up some of the trash. On the Clark Fork River. You know, they've got a lot of homeless encampments, a lot of transients, human feces, drug needles. So in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, I was telling you about how Sam Redfern on X was posting photos of the trash cleanup along the river in Missoula. And Sam raised a really good question. Huh? Are they only now finally cleaning up the river and cleaning up the city because Bernie Sanders and AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are coming into town? Remember, Gavin Newsom and San Francisco. You had feces and drug needles. Same problems in Missoula, same problems in San Francisco. But, man, they made the streets spotless and shiny when Dear Leader, the communist Chinese leader Xi Jinping, showed up in San Francisco. It looks like now that the rich socialists are showing up in Missoula, Missoula's finally saying, hey, let's clean up the river. So I shot an email earlier this morning to Sandy Vasica. She is a Ward 6 Missoula City Council member. She is like, I think there's maybe one other. She's like one of the lone common sense / conservative leaning folks on the Missoula City Council. It's actually funny. She went to MSU, so she's a MSU alum who's now on the Missoula City Council, but she's actually cleaning things up. She's trying to save the taxpayers' money. Now contrast that with Zach Brown, who is a Democrat Gallatin County Commissioner, who just voted to give himself another 10% pay raise. He went to the University of Montana. So it's just kind of funny that you've got an MSU Bobcat serving on the Missoula City Council, who's a conservative, who's trying to save taxpayers' money. And then on the flip side, take you to Bozeman, and you've got a Democrat on the Gallatin County Commission who's a grizz, who's trying to raise his salary and constantly raising your taxes as well. Irony abounds. I don't know. As a guy who loves the Cat Grizz game, I just get a kick out of this. But anyway, so I reached out to Sandy Vasica. I said, hey, are they just doing this for the Bernie and AOC event? She says, I'm glad it was done. It is a strange coincidence, she says. I'm unsure if it was because of the event today, but the optics sure make it seem like it. This is from the Missoula City Council member. She says, I do know that our regular Wednesday council committee meetings were scheduled around the absence of many of my colleagues today because they will be absent and attending the event. I will not be. I'll let you know if I learn anything. So she calls it a strange coincidence that finally Missoula decided to clean up the river. I thought these people were environmentalists. If anybody should care about the riverbanks being clean, you would think it would be environmentalists, but we all know better. They're not. They don't care about the environment. They just care about cats and grizz. I got a cousin who's a Cincinnati Bengals fan, and he grew up in Missoula. But anyway, he just sent me this. Speaking of cats and grizz, the Bengals
the Cincinnati Bengals, apparently. I got to ask him where he saw this story at, because, yeah, I hadn't seen this one yet. Caden, maybe you saw this one, because Caden's our sports guy around here. He did a great roll-up of high school baseball in the 6 o'clock hour of the show yesterday, if you missed it. But the NFL journey continues to unfold for former Montana State quarterback Tommy Mellott. Of course, Butte, Montana's own touchdown Tommy, Tommy Mellott. He recently made a visit to the Cincinnati Bengals. So, yeah, thanks to my cousin for sharing that one with me. He added this. He says, it'd be cool to see him wearing the stripes. I'd love to see him get any chance in the NFL. Yeah, what a remarkable. I mean, you know, this is coming from a guy who went to the University of Montana. But I'll tell you what, touchdown Tommy, just a remarkable athlete, and sounds just like a remarkable person, a remarkable young man as well, which, frankly, that's more important than the athleticism at the end of the day anyway. That's eternal. That's long-lasting. But, yeah, he just sounds like an incredible young man on top of being an incredible athlete. So, yeah, that'd be incredible to see him playing in the NFL. By the way, speaking of NFL athletes, I was at a track meet in Billings yesterday, high school track meet, and ran into our buddy John Jackson, and I was there watching my son run. My goodness, the mile, the 1600, Harden had their kids in the house. Man, Harden has got some incredible runners. I mean, they always have, I guess, but holy cow, this kid, I meant to try to track down his name before I left the track meet, but this kid ran the mile, and I think there was a Skyview dad standing next to me, and he was timing it. He said that I think he clocked it in at about 4 minutes and 29 seconds for the 1 mile run yesterday, a Harden kid. And then there were, three or four Harden kids right behind him. Well, not right behind him. Everybody was a little bit further behind him, but there was several other Harden boys right up there at the top. So just a remarkable track athletes there. Pretty fun to watch. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. One of the biggest stories of the day, and it's a Montana story, I haven't even gotten to yet. Far-left judge. Yes, we've got way too many of them here in Montana. A far-left federal judge is now getting into the game as well. This is what the Democrats and the liberal mob media are doing. They stood by silent, or they downplayed this invasion of illegal aliens that took place under the Joe Biden, John Tester regime over the last 4 years. And now that Donald Trump is working to clean up our streets, clean up our rivers, make our country safe, and deport these criminal illegal aliens out of here, the liberal judges are doing everything they can to bring it to a halt. I'll tell you about this liberal judge who currently resides in Butte, Montana, after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so what are we seeing across the country? We're seeing district court judges, U.S., so federal district court judges, abusing their positions of power. What they're trying to do, we've pointed this out consistently here. They stood by while Joe Biden and John Tester allowed 15 million plus criminal illegal aliens to invade this country. And then they abused and twisted the refugee program and the asylum process to also basically sneak people into this country without a true vetting process, which is really unfortunate because, you know, our country has long supported refugees and asylum seekers. But what Joe Biden and the John Tester regime did was they basically threw that system in the trash can so that they could hand people, oh, we'll just call you a refugee. Ah, we'll just call you an asylee. And that was another way that they could just load this country full of what they hoped would be future voters, or even current voters, heck, in some cases, because now we're finding out about, you know, the hundreds of thousands of Social Security numbers given out by Joe Biden, especially last year alone. And by the way, Joe Biden just shuffled his way back into the news yesterday. We'll get to that here in a few minutes. But
Now, no surprise here at all. No surprise here at all. In fact, I think this week we already predicted that this far-left judge here in Montana would follow suit. So we mentioned several news sources have been reporting on these university students in the Montana university system that have now had their visas revoked by the federal government. And the funniest headline yesterday was shared by Mary in Helena. Mary made the point. She says, hey, look at this headline from this far-left liberal website, the Daily Montanan, which is a liberal blog. Anyway, you read the headline, and the headline says, well, basically, only two of the four had criminal convictions. Wait, do tell more. Wait, you mean to tell me that there are people who aren't citizens of this country that are in this country attending our schools, probably getting subsidized by our taxpayer dollars, probably getting some really nice, and they have criminal convictions? Tell us more about that story. How come this is the first we're hearing about foreigners on our college campuses with criminal convictions? And tell us more about that story. But the earlier this week, it was announced that the far-left ACLU filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration for revoking these visas for two students in particular at Montana State University. One is from Iran, and the other is from Turkey. And what I found very interesting is that the ACLU, in the official court documents, we talked about this yesterday when the Joker was in the house, why did they refuse to name these two students? It's as if they have something to hide here. It's as if they don't want the people of Montana to know the backgrounds of these students, the true backgrounds of these students. I mean, you could say, well, they're doctoral students from Iran, blah, blah, blah. No. What's their name and who are they? Because, look, there are hundreds of international students at both MSU and at UM, and, of course, at Tech in Butte and elsewhere. So a very tiny number had their student visas revoked. So why did immigration authorities believe that these two, one from Iran especially, needed to have their student visa revoked? Now, maybe if we had a name, we might have a better understanding as to why, right? But when the news reports came out that the ACLU, the far-left ACLU of Montana, was filing suit and that the case was going to be assigned to the federal district court in Butte, Montana, I was like, oh, yeah, we know how this one's going to play out. Do you guys remember? I can't remember when this was. I was trying to find the news stories, and, of course, you know, trying to find news these days, you have to really get creative to find the actual news because you have to sift through a bunch of garbage in order to get the information. Remember when this left-wing federal judge, I think he was an Obama judge, Dana Christensen, he was appointed to the bench by Democrats like Max Baucus and John Tester. And, of course, Max Baucus sold us out to the communist Chinese and lined his own pockets. That's why he's got a nice big fancy house at the base of the Bridger Mountains now. Yeah, because he sold us out to the communist Chinese and he's lining his pockets. What a sellout. But anyway, Democrats like those guys put Dana Christensen on the bench. Remember when he did a press conference in front of the courthouse in Butte? And he had a Joe Biden campaign theme placard on the front of the podium. Now, federal judges are not supposed to do political campaign events, but that's exactly what Judge Christensen did. The guy is a far-left hack. He has tried to do to eastern Montana what Judge Don Malloy did to our timber industry in western Montana. Well, Judge Christensen, here you go. This is a report from the Liberal Lee newspapers. A federal judge issued a temporary ruling Tuesday ordering the Department of Homeland Security to reinstate the legal status of two international students at Montana State University who had their visas suddenly revoked last week. Without proper status, international students can face deportation or arrest. But U.S. District Court Judge Dana Christensen, they don't report here that he's an Obama judge, I don't believe, at least not in the early paragraphs of the story here. No, nowhere in it. Also barred the federal government from initiating deportation proceedings for the two students on the basis of their revoked visas. So here you go. Now Judge Dana Christensen thinks he's the Secretary of State, thinks he is the President of the United States, thinks he has the authority to conduct foreign policy, thinks he now gets to decide who gets a visa and who does not get a visa. The guy is overstepping his authority. It is yet another far-left judge making another stupid decision. And again, this Judge Christensen, he would lock you up in a heartbeat. He would shut down your business in a heartbeat. He's already tried to kill coal and oil and gas here in Montana and in the West. But he'll go to bat for somebody from Iran? Kind of like Judge Don Malloy out of Missoula. He went to bat for the communist Chinese to keep TikTok up and running. But when it came to your business, he would shut you down. He shut down American industry in a heartbeat. But the communist Chinese need to keep their precious little intelligence and influence operation known as TikTok up and running. And there was Don Malloy to bail out the communist Chinese when he would shut down your industry in a heartbeat. And look, the ACLU, of course, they got a favorable ruling out of judges like Dana Christensen. The ACLU is the Democrat Party. The ACLU funds the Democrat Party. The ACLU funds these judicial campaigns for these far-left judges and justices here in Montana at the state level. And so, of course, they're getting what they paid for here. Look at all the violations and the trampling of civil liberties that took place during COVID-19. Did you ever hear hardly anything out of the ACLU of Montana? Of course not. Of course not. All right, what about, speaking of illegal aliens, what about the guy that the fake news media keeps calling a Maryland dad? Here's Jesse Waters from his segment last night.
These lawyers are really making him into an innocent Maryland dad in the media, and the media is drinking the Kool-Aid.
He's an illegal immigrant. Okay. He was here illegally with deportation orders in 2019. What part of that do you not understand?
I understand the story very well, and I'm going to stop going back and forth with you on this, but I will say, again, he had every right to be in this country. Is there any scenario under which
he did not.
Guy...
He was an illegal immigrant.
We're going to move on
serious?
On this.
No, I will not let you go forward.
Okay.
He was an illegal alien in this country with a deportation order in 2019. He is an El Salvadorian citizen.
How'd the media go from the border secure to MS-13 has every right to be in this country? This is a new low, even for them.
I'm not sure what is so difficult about this for everyone in the media to understand. And it's appalling, truly appalling, that there has been so much time covering this alleged human trafficker and this gang member, MS-13 gang member. It's truly striking to me.
Democrats just lost in a landslide because they let illegal gangbangers into the country, and they're still fighting for illegal gangbangers to come into the country.
Yep. And the blowhards, Bernie and AOC, blowing into town in Missoula later today. That's why there's a high wind warning in effect. Thanks to Jake and Billings for that message.
With reliable connectivity, enhanced cybersecurity, and advanced fiber solutions, Comcast Business helps turn today's small businesses into engines of modern business. Powering the engine of modern business. Powering possibilities.
Now through April 21st, new customers can get started with 150 megabit internet and security edge for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a two-year agreement. Plus, ask how to get a $500 prepaid card on a qualifying internet package. Call today. Restrictions apply. Equipment tax and other fees extra and subject to change.
Fox News commentary.
Bill Maher had dinner with the president and gave his audience the full and unexpected report. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
That heat's going to be out there for one more day.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It was perhaps one of the most highly anticipated and most talked about meetings our president has hosted in his second term. It wasn't with a world leader, an adversary, or an ally. It was a dinner with comedian and HBO host Bill Maher. The dinner came together thanks to mutual friend Kid Rock. Dana White was also present. On his HBO show Real Time, Bill Maher gave his audience the full report in his opening monologue, and it was shocking. Not only did Maher admit the president isn't some bad or crazy guy, he detailed just how genuine, generous, and humble the president was throughout the evening. Now, some liberals are foaming at the mouth this meeting even happened, but as Maher pointed out, those people are nothing but haters with no solution. Bill Maher admitted he's not suddenly a mega, but that he has a better understanding and appreciation of the man he's been mocking for years. And guess what, folks? We need so much more of this. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see increasing clouds across the area for today with high temperature readings staying back at around the mid-50s in Bozeman to the mid-60s in Billings. Also seeing some rain shower chances later in the day, especially towards Bozeman. Rain showers turn over to some light snow tonight with 1 to 3 inches in Bozeman, inch or less for areas towards Billings with lows near 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, what a fast-moving show with Tuesday's Montana Talks. It was definitely the most unwoke hour of the week, that's for sure. Coming up on Wednesday, more time to take your phone calls all across Montana so you can be heard all across Montana. Then we got a big guest joining us in studio for the second half of the show. That's Wednesday's Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can call into the program at 406-296-8511.
If it isn't a Thompson, it ain't worth a dip.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're going to have to get rid of their dogs now. Yeah, dogs are causing climate change. Dogs are horrible for the environment, so you can't have those three dogs in the back of your Subaru anymore. I got a message from Ryan in Billings. Looks like the Billings Gazette is spitting out more BS. Yeah, he shared the same headline that ticked me off earlier this morning. Will patriotic indoctrination be the next attack on Native American school children. And I was like, oh, for Pete's sake. So my rant kicking off the 6 o'clock hour, I told Ryan, was to the author of that so-called news article that the Billings Gazette's featuring this morning. Has that dumbass ever been to a powwow? Hell, Native Americans are 100 times more patriotic than these white liberals writing these anti-American news articles. But anyway, then Ryan sent me another message. Yeah, it's probably the same person that drives a Subaru, drinks IPA, and has dogs. Well, looks like they're going to have to put the dog down now. Thanks to Ryan for that message. Yeah, lots of stickers on the back window, too. Lots of stickers. See, when you struggle with identity, You put a bunch of stickers up to make up for your lack of identity. Let's go to Robert in Missoula. Robert, what's going on?
Well, I just thought I'd let you know, yesterday when I was working down in Missoula, I was driving around, and they have the city out cleaning up all the homeless camps for the visit of, is it the leader of China? No, it's Bernie Sanders and AOC.
Yeah, so you saw it with your own eyes, huh?
I did.
Man,
yeah, isn't that ironic? Like, oh, now they finally decide to clean up the riverbank, huh?
Yeah, they didn't want to look at the mess that their own party created.
Yeah, they got to whitewash it for their, you know, their favorite white liberal, Bernie Sanders, coming in later today.
Absolutely. And I like to comment, too, on Native Americans and their patrioticness. My aunt, believe it or not, was the first Blackfoot, full-blooded Blackfoot woman that ever served in World War II as a Marine.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Many spotted wolf out of Browning.
That's awesome. Man, that's very cool. Yeah, I mean, well, I said it earlier in the 6 o'clock hour of the show, you know, this liberal reporter, teaching patriotism is an attack on Native American school kids. Native Americans serve in our military at higher percentages than any other ethnic category out there. Like, go to a freaking powwow, and you will see the American flag right there up front along with the veterans of that tribe that served this nation. Like, get the freak out of here, these white liberals.
That was one of the reasons I joined the Navy.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for serving.
Absolutely.
All right. Robert, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Hey, our producer, Caden Bjornstad, you know, like I said, he's the guy who's tracking all the sports news of the day. So, touchdown Tommy. Got some time with the Cincinnati Bengals. What did you find out for us there, Caden?
Not a whole lot of new news besides that. Tommy Mellott, obviously quarterback at Montana State. He's listed currently as a fringe pick in the draft, so probably the third day of the draft, you know, possibly undrafted. The issue with Tommy Mellott at the quarterback position is just his quarterbacking ability. You know, playing in the FCS is a lot different than playing in the FBS. A lot of good draft publications have him listed as outside of the top 20 quarterbacks. So Tommy Mellott, I mean, he's great athletically. He's listed in the top 100 percentile in the 40. He ran a 4.42, I believe, is what I saw. So really athletic. I mean, some NFL team is going to take a flyer on him. I'm almost confident of that. It's just a matter of how he performs in camp and where he ends up.
Yeah, we've had some great players come out of both MSU and UM and other programs here from the FCS, move their way up, and he's definitely one of the best. So anybody would be lucky to have him. Yeah, even if not QB, I think you mentioned in our chat here, he could be like a Julian Edelman, who's, of course, an incredible player. All right, we've got open phones kicking off the 8 o'clock hour next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Take two pills and call me in the morning. If only the solution to housing affordability were as easy as doctor's advice to printing off an ailment. At least the doctor can usually count on the human body's natural immune system to do the heavy lifting to get you back to health. In the case of housing markets in the most stressed areas of the state, market forces don't work in the same way. And in terms of affordability, the patient remains sick. Housing markets in places like Bozeman and Kalispell have changed since the COVID-induced changes in demand pushed prices and rents up dramatically. Demand is cool, population growth has throttled back, and the super high prices have done their bit as well. The supply response, particularly in new multifamily housing coming online in the rental markets, was strong, especially in the year or so before interest rates rose. But none of these things have moved the needle in getting prices and rents back down. Far from it. Better local policies would help. There's also inflation in building materials, which, it must be said, tariffs will make much worse. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.